About Shabbos candles, because that's how Shabbos, we bring in Shabbos in the home. So we start with that. Now, I just want to mention a few things about Shabbos candles before we start. Whoever Chazal bring down anything connected to Shabbos candles, it's always with regard to the home. Like a woman lights for her home. But that is also because that there wasn't really existence of a single woman lighting Shabbos candle once upon a time. No, not positive, they're just but. And here's the big but. Whatever is said about Shabbos candle towards a woman in the home, it's not said because Shabbos candles regard a married woman. It's the influence or what we get out of the Shabbos candles in general. So even if I'm going to be speaking about a Jewish woman in her home, it's not that if you're not a married woman that it doesn't have a home, you can't get that. You can get the exact same, the essence of the light or whatever we're going to speak about and just transfer it to what we are. So occasionally we'll mention the home, but don't take it like that, like if you're not married lighting Shabbos candles, this does not happen. It does. It's the influence of the Shabbos candles itself. So the Shabbos candles are compared in Chazal with a few things, or I say the essence of the candle is in three main parts, and that one is Shalom, peace, Or, which is light, and Tov, which is good, goodness, to improve, better, or whatever the explanation is at Tov at that time. And these are the three concepts of the Shabbos candles, and these are the three things that Shabbos candles bring into their home. Now, the Gemara speaks about, and says that the if we're talking about the segula, not the segula as a segula as like if you stand on your head for 40 days, but rather a segula of something that's zir and precious, we are am segula. That's what we are called, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not because we do segulas, which we maybe do. Somebody once said that we should teach the halachas as segulas and segulas as halacha and everything will be fine. I'm segula. I don't know how exact translation segula in English. Did anybody ever translate exactly segula? But really, I'm segula means precious. That's what it means. We're Hashem's very precious nation, and it's such a gift for us that we're given certain mitzvahs, and it's only given to us because we're the Am segula. So with that, let's look at source one. So source one is as following. It's a Rambam. Ner Beito v'ner Chanukah. A person has amount of money that either they could buy a Shabbos candle or they could buy a Chanukah candle. What do they get? Ner Beito Adif. The person should buy a Shabbos candle, that means light Shabbos candles, and then not light Chanukah candles. Why is it? Mishum Shlom Beito. Because candles bring shalom, bring peace into the home. Chanukah candles are publicizing a miracle, and Shabbos candles are peace, and peace is preference about everything. Where do you learn it from? Sharei Hashem nimchak la'asot shalom ben ish li'ishto. Hashem's name gets erased when we're trying to do peace between husband and wife, and when would that be?
Shazona.
Sorry?
Ishtota.
Sota. When we have the woman that's not clear if she did something wrong, then we melt Hashem's name in the water, and then we, so to speak, erase the Shem Hashem, but the erasing of the name Hashem is really creating the peace. Gadol Shalom Shebekol Torah. Gadol Shalom, how great is peace? Shekol HaTorah Nitna La'asot Shalom Ba'olam. if anybody ever asks you why was the Torah given, the answer is to make peace in the world. That is the answer. Hadlakas ner is also more important than kiddush. As a person has only money for kiddush or for lighting candles, we would rather light candles, again, because the concept of peace in the home. And because the peace is the aim of the whole Torah, that's why peace is above all. That's why I just want to add, like if Chas v'Shalom, a person has to change from the truth in order to create peace, one's allowed to do that. I mean, it has to be that there's no other way to get out of it, you know. You can't lie, but if you're faced with something that either you tell the truth and cause an argument, or you change a bit from the truth, and then that we are allowed to do that because peace is above all. This source number two.
Who was the first one? Did you say it was Rashi?
Rambam.
Yeah, it says it at the end. Thank you. B'makom she'en ner en shalom, where there's no candle, there's no blessing. Sheholech v'nichshal, because people fall and stumble. Now, that means on two levels. When it's dark and you're walking in the dark, you can't see where you're walking, and therefore you fall. But it also has a higher level of light and peace, where there's light, and we'll soon have to understand what is the light in a home. Where there's light in the home, there's no arguing. When there's clarity, you don't fall. But we'll get in a deeper level of that in a minute. The En Shalom El Ba'or, whenever there's peace, there's also light. We learn it, Vayar Elokim Et Ha'or Kitov, that's written in Chumash Bereshit. Hashem sees the light, and what does he see? He sees Tov. Means that there's a goodness between good peace and light. Okay, we're going to go to one more source, and then we'll sum it up. A woman has three special mitzvot in the Torah that they actually belong to her. It does not mean that a man cannot do it, but these things are specifically for her. Everybody knows the more mitzvahs we do, the more we bring the redemption closer. But a woman has her own sort of redemption to create because of Adam of Chava. So we have an extra tikkun, correction to make in this world, and the three mitzvot are Chala, Nida, and Hadakas, and Lion Candles. Okay, source three. He kipta et neiro shel Adam Harishon. The woman diminished the candle of Adam Harishon. Now, why did she, she put it out completely. When Adam was in Gan Eden, he had the power to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. The only other place we have that is when a fetus in the mother, it's written that he's sitting inside with a candle on his head, and is able to see from the beginning of the world to the end of the world. Now, in ultrasounds, you don't see candles, so. But what does it mean, the concept of a candle? It's the power to see things in such clarity that because of the clarity, it's like there's no freedom of choice in the good way. Fetus in a mother's womb does not have freedom of choice to do bad or to good. Why? Because they know the whole Torah, they see the whole clarity. Adam HaRishon, his Yetzirah was out of him, wasn't in him. So he had the power to see from one end of the world to other, and it means what I do here, I know now what it's going to influence 6,000 miles away. They always say if a person does a mitzvah in one place, they don't know whether they're influencing a Jew far away in the other part of the world. Adam HaRishon knew that before the sin. After he sinned, he didn't have the power of understanding what's happening in the entire world at one time. His Yetzirah came inside of him. It was completely a different existence. Who caused that? What kind of? Chava. if Chava would be walking around the delivery rooms in any hospital, she would not. She would not be safe to be there. So she put out this possibility, this candle in Adam. Shekatuv ner Hashem nishmat Adam. A neshama of a person resembles a candle, and because she extinguished it for Adam Rishon, tzricha lahadliko b'leil Shabbat. She has to light it again and again on every Shabbos. It's not enough once, it's as many times as she lives. Every time she's lighting the candle, she's bringing a slight tikkun for what Chava did in Gan Eden. Now, just to be all of us clear, all of us are a piece of Chava. That's why we can do a tikkun, because like Chava, we want to say, was one neshama, and we each might be slivers of her neshama, but that's why we can bring this tikkun to the world. Okay, now, when a Shabbos candle is lit at home, it influences, so the Chazal brings the neshama of a husband at home, but the fact that she is lighting a candle awakens a lightness, a light in the household, of in the people who are in the household in her home. Light is clarity. It brings an extra amount of clarity in a home that a person didn't have 2 minutes beforehand. That's why, by the way, in any way, it's like, it's very important before a person lights Shabbos candles not to fall from weekday into Shabbos candles, because we have to realize what we're doing. It's just like you run from one thing to other, and you light Shabbos candles, and you think, oh, how did I get here? What did this happen? Give yourself 10 seconds to transfer yourself. What I'm doing now, I'm going to begin giving this course to, in a certain way, correct the world. I'm not putting down any males, but a man doesn't have the same privilege of correcting sins of Adam HaRishon in many ways. What does Adam have? What does a man have special mitzvahs?
The ones bound by time.
So he's bound by time. For that, no one's even that it's a tikkun.
But Shabbos candles are bound by time too.
Yeah, I know, but that's why. But it's a special for the woman that she can bring the tikkun. So we should just stop and think that by doing this, we're actually causing our home to return a bit to Gan Eden. You know, one of the brachas that you make under the chuppah is we daven that the house should be like Gan Eden Mikedem. We should be like Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. So every time a woman lights Shabbos candles, she's turning the clock back a bit that her house does resemble that Gan Eden that was. That's a certain power that a woman has. So that's what I'm saying. When you fall into Shabbos candles, you just stop a minute, not a minute, even a half a minute to think what a schus we have to do with such a thing. Now, there are two very special things with fire that you don't find anywhere else in the world. A candle, however you light, you hold it, a match, whatever it is, a flame, it never turns down.
It
always goes up. Isn't that interesting? You pour water, go there. Anything that you put down goes down. But the light always shines up. That is because, now if we're talking about there's like a neshama of a person is like a candle, so I'm talking specifically about a female neshama, because a woman from herself is always pulled spiritual things naturally more than a man. A man was created from dust and became the highest neshama in the world. A woman was created already from the highest neshama in the world. That's why women look for meaning in life much more than men. Mm-hmm. It's on daily events, you want to know, oh, what does it mean that you missed the bus? What does it mean that a dish broke while you were washing it? You know, like, we always look for deeper meanings in our things, more the simple thing, oh, you know, our hands were soapy and it slipped out of our hands, you know, or like we got up late in the morning, therefore we missed the bus. But a woman is her connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more automatic, and that's why she doesn't have to do the mitzvahs that are bound with time. But it's part of the flame goes up, it is a woman's soul that's always striving for something higher, for something greater. Another thing about a candle is that, a flame, is that you can take from the flame as much as you want, but
it doesn't go out.
It doesn't become less. it's an unbelievable thing. A million people could light a candle from one flame, and what will happen to the flame?
Nothing.
It stays the same. And that's Hashem gave a certain power to a woman, that part of her being is giving. A woman has a rechem, which is a womb, which comes from the word rachamim. She's created herself with the will to give to others. That's more essence of a woman than a man. The sharing, giving, and the caring about other people. But that really manifests itself in this candle, because everybody could take from this candle, it doesn't become less. And she's giving and giving and giving, and she doesn't become less. And when she's lighting this candle, it's true, she's lighting this candle, but she's also, by lighting the candle, she's giving to everybody around her and for herself. What she's doing is also for herself. She also has ansama, she's also lighting that part of her. Now, you know, every mitzvah has... We don't do mitzvahs in ruchnius. You know what I mean? We don't meditate on Shabbos to get kedusha. If we want kedusha, we have to do things. So we do things in a very physical way. We make nice food. We dress nicely. That's how we bring the kedusha down to our home. But lighting the candle is also physical, but it's also something very spiritual, because by her lighting that kedusha, she is bringing something very special in home. Her lighting is automatically bringing peace into her home. That's one aspect of the lighting of the candle. Shabbos is makor habracha, the source of all blessings. And it's said many times in Chazal, and personally I always feel it during the week, the way your Shabbos is, that often spills over to how your week is going to be. In Hebrew, you don't have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What do you say? What is it? It's the first day to Shabbos. But so really, Shabbos is the beginning, and then we build the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's like, so really, till Tuesday you can do Abdullah, because the half of the week belongs till one Shabbos, and the other half already belongs to the other Shabbos. But the lighting of the candles, that we start with that we start our week with lighting the candles, that the way it's done could bring light and peace to the whole entire week. That's why the bracha in the tent of Sarah and Rivka was that the candle lit. Right, from one, I don't know if literally it lit from one Shabbos the other, maybe yes, maybe not, but that wasn't the point here. The point that the bracha of Shabbos spilled over till the next time, till the next Friday afternoon, when the our Imahot lit the next candle. So when Yitzchak brought Rivka into his mother's tent again, so I don't know if the candle just lit, but the influence of Shabbos was felt the whole entire week. And that is the point of lining up. I saw that it's that they're placed in, I don't know, I didn't check this thoroughly, but that in places like India and Pakistan, you have all people that still associate themselves with Jews. And one thing that they a few things that they do, one thing they do is light Shabbos candles.
And,
yeah, well, we had a girl here a few years ago. She was from Brazil. Her parents were Christian, and she converted. But she said one thing her grandmother did every Friday night was light a candle.
Well, somebody was a Jew along the line, and the chain got broken.
It had to be, but that mitzvah was kept.
Right.
Somebody I know went to a tour in Spain, and they were brought down to all. You know, Spain has a lot of history there, but there was a monastery that they went to, and they showed them that the nuns, even at this time, every Friday night they go down to the cell and light one candle. Right, so I'm saying it must be. I know, but interesting that mitzvah got kept among the women, because that's how powerful that was. As I was like, because it was kept for so long, like people's, it brought so much light, and where there's light, it just kept in all the neshamas of people. But and often, like you have, women will choose one mitzvah. It's not only because it's an easy mitzvah to do. There are lots of, there's some other easy mitzvah to do, but that mitzvah, they can light candles and then do whatever they do on not kill rest of Shabbos, but lighting Shabbos candles is something very, very strong in a Jewish home. Among Jewish women, it's like something that women connect to, because I think because of the spirituality about that. And I always think of this, like, where does the flame disappear to? If there's usually a flame, and there's usually like a smoke that just comes up, do you know what I mean? It's like the whole thing of fire is something very spiritual. In the Torah, it's like that's a spiritual. The word is more physical. Okay. Now, there's peace and there's light, which we say are connected. Let's go to source 4. When there's no light, there's
darkness.
So what is darkness? The opposite. No, who said it? It's actually not. It's actually the lack of light. The lack of light is darkness.
Yeah, the
absence. I thought you said the opposite. I'm sorry. It's the absence. You're right. Sorry. There's always say, was darkness a creation or not? There's always the question. Okay. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Hirchakta mimeni ohev vira miyudei mechshach. The Tehillim says, when Hashem distanced from me, David HaMelech says, either a friend and beloved or Hashem has distanced himself from me, then I feel like I'm sitting in darkness. When we're separated from people, when we're separated from, or I should say, darkness has an element of separating people one from each other, or just in general, separating things. When nighttime is a time that people are more in their home, they less, they don't see people as much. It's a time where people stick for themselves, stay for themselves. Darkness also prevents a person from doing things that he wants to do. If you can't see what you're doing, you know, you don't do it. At old times, then when did people go to sleep?
Sunset.
On sunset, and they got up at sunrise because they didn't do things during the dark. So darkness was definitely a time which people kept for themselves, but even nowadays. Now, when a person is, when there's light outside, a person can see a whole picture, and also a person has connection with between people when there's light. When, you know, when you're speaking to a person in the dark, or for, like, if examine our generation, when you're speaking to a person over the phone, you can see, you sometimes say the wrong thing more than when you're speaking face to face, because you can see the person's face expressions. That's why any like deep conversations don't have on the phone. It's very important to see people's expressions. It's it's like, oh, that's what you were thinking. This, if I would have seen you, I would have like not, you know. So that's the concept of light. Then we have the bracha that we say in Shacharis every day. In source 5, Yotzer Or creates light. Uvorechoshech. Sorry.
Forms light.
Sorry, yes. Thank you. Forms light, creates darkness. And then we have Oseh Shalom, makes peace. Uvoreh Takol, and creates everything. But if we take Yotzer Or Uvorechoshech, what would be the matching one? Yotzer Or. Oseh Shalom. So light equals peace. Where there's light, there's more peace. And that's why, by the way, at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we say, "Bachenu avinu kulanu keechad." Hashakadosh Baruch Hu seems to give us peace. And when we say "Be'or panecha," in the light of your face, like show to us a light, a face with light, and we'll have peace. Where there's light between people, there's understanding between people, and the first time we meet that concept with like lightness, understanding, and brings goodness or understanding between two people, we see in Aharon HaKohen, lighting the candles in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the halachas for lighting the candles in the Beis HaMikdash are the same for the halachas for lighting candles at home. Hanukkah candles are different, not the same. The menorah, a woman who lights the candles at home, she is compared at that time for Aharon HaKohen lighting the candles in the Beis HaMikdash in the menorah. When did he light the candles? How many times a week?
Every day.
Which means that our lighting of the candle on Erev Shabbos is creating our candles to be lit every day in the week, even though we don't see it.
Don't some synagogues have an eternal flame?
Yeah, that's a Ner Maariv, because there was always one. The Ner Maariv, there was one candle was lit, and from there he lit it, and that was lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, right?
Okay.
Yes, yeah. But the menorah he lit. He lit daily. When we're talking about Aaron lighting candles, the way it's written in the actually Rashi brings it down. Hashem says light the candles, and then Rashi says madlik to light, umetiv. Umetiv comes to the word
tov,
to improve, or like I'll say to make good, to do good to the candles. That's how, so we have the concept of something tov in lighting, in the lighting candles. Now, the word tov in the Torah always connects to two. We can't have two, you can't have tov where there's only one. Now, before we go to the psukim, if you have a moment of enjoyment, okay, if you want to celebrate your birthday, the most stingy person in the whole entire world will not be able to celebrate his birthday on his own. He can make it. He won't be able to celebrate his birthday on his own. In the Torah, we need two to enjoy something. If you had an amazing experience, part of in your mind that you want to go share it with somebody. Until you share it with somebody, it's not as precious, it's not as good. Good is to be shared. So I brought here three psukim that are from different places, and they all have the concept of sharing. In Kohelet, in Source 8, it's written, Tovim hashnayim min ha'echad. Two are always better than one. It's a matter of talking about people. A couple, and it doesn't mean a husband and wife, but two are a team. If you want to achieve something, it's better always to do it. Two heads are better than one. Then we have Tovim Dodecha Miyayin, and here we're saying, Hashem, and here it's an interesting thing, wine is something very special. Wine is always, brings it's the goodness in the world. Now, did you know there was a special bracha besides our government to say on wine? If a person brings makes kiddush over wine, okay, and then they bring another wine to the table that's better, there's a special bracha that you say. It's hatov v'hametiv. But that bracha you cannot say by yourself. If you're sitting at the table, they can bring you a $50,000 wine to the table after you've had your simple Bartanura wine, but you still can't say Hatov Ametiv unless at least one other person is drinking with you. Because it's not the same drinking on your own than drinking together with somebody. It doesn't cause the same simcha. So wine was the ultimate of simcha, okay? So what does in Shira Shirim, it's written Tovim Dodecha, the concept is really, but Hashem, but your learning Torah is even better than wine. But learning Torah is also, brings a better understanding in two than in one. And then we have, the last pasuk says, Hine matov umana'im shevet achim b'yam yachad. One is the ultimate good, when we're sitting Yachad. Now, it doesn't mean only together, because you can have 50 people sitting in the same room and they're not Echad. Echad means together, but Echad also means that we are all for the same goal. Because the Yachad is working towards the same goal, not physically sitting together, but there together. We learn it from Bnei Israel camp next to the Kais, Har Sinai. Why did they camp there together? What is, was their togetherness? Not because they weren't fighting, because they all have the same goal of keeping the Torah. Then we have the opposite. It's written, Lo tov heyot la'adam levado. A person, if they're not married, it's specifically for a man. Lo tov, he can't have tov in the world if a man is not married. A man cannot be have reached the ultimate goodness if he is on his own.
Which number is it?
9. And that's just because that what say a man is always a man is always looking for his lost rib. So a man is always when he's born he's already lacking. A woman is a rib on her own, so she was created like that, so she's not lacking. But that's why the most natural thing is for even in the Torah, a man comes after a woman and not a woman after a man, because you know you run after your lost object. You should be looking for your lost object. By the way, one day in the creation, it's not written Tov. What day of the creation is not written Tov? 2. 2, it's not written Tov. Why?
Separation.
Because it was separation. Vayavdel, yeah, Vayavdehum Avdil. Source 10 is Vayavdel ben Hamayim. Asher mitachat l'rakia ben Hamayim sh'al. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made separation, that day, not that it couldn't be goodness, which we say that's where Machlokas started from. Hashem separated the waters between them, and that was the difference. So it had to be, but Tov it wasn't. When we look at the peace, if we look at the light, and we see it said Vayar Elokim et Aor Kitov, so the light and goodness is really comes from the same source. We see something extra in a home. That light that brings goodness, but light really is the source of connection between two people. You know, you say in English, like in the light of this mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they say this in English, but in Hebrew you say we see things in different lights.
Mm.
I don't think you say... Mm. I don't know, but that's how you say it in Hebrew. So I mean... People have to see things in the same light, in the same way, and that's where people get attached to each other.
Mm.
So lightness, on a deeper level, brings a connection between two people. And Chas V'Shalom, the lack of light brings like the difference of the two people. So again, when we're lighting candles, it's a place to daven for, before you're married, that you should merit to see people, you and your husband, future husband, should see things in the same light. And if you are married, then you definitely should daven to see things in the same light. But that is in the source of lighting Shabbos candles. Okay.
Rabbitson, where does the custom of lighting candles from the Hatzala candles for Shalom Bayis come from? I just saw a couple
people at the same time. Tell me that again.
They lit 2 candles from the Hatzala candle and they said that it's for Shalom Bayis.
As far as I know, and I might be wrong, that that every su'udah has to be with light. So I know many people eat Malava Malka with candles on the table, but it's not the same candles as
yeah.
And then have
the
I never heard of it. I never, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, everything has a source. I don't know. Certain things, are, you know, like, just where did the mincha come that with each chant you light a light, shine an extra candle? You should light two candles. You know where it came from?
Because you miss the...
Because women, the, yeah, because women thought, women when they gave birth to a child, they always had to be 10 days in the hospital, like not now, 24 hours. And they never trusted their husbands completely. That did you really, really, really remember to light my Shabbos candle? So if you don't light Shabbos candles one Shabbos, then you always have to add on a candle. So with every child that was born, you add another. Yeah, you add another candle. That's what we're looking. I mean, just my mother doesn't, but I do the minhag. I just think it's a beautiful. Yeah, okay. But then when one gets one out, when one goes out, it doesn't mean anything. But it doesn't have any. It's not this candle's for this child. This candle's for this child. There was more.
But symbolic.
Symbolic, exactly right. Okay, now. When will be the most peace in the world?
Mashiach.
In the Psukim, it's written, Shamat Smiach Keren of David, I'll bring up the horn of David, and said, Arachti, I will set up Ner Lemashichi, a candle to my Mashiach, which is the future, which is the Mashiach, which means that we daven in all Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we daven for Arichat Ner Leben Yishai Mashiachecha. Please bring the candle of the Mashiach, bring the candle of the Geula now. So the candle is also something, is also shows Melucha, also shows the future light that Hashem is going to put in this world. And what's interesting is, why did Shaul HaMelech merit the kingdom? Because his grandfather used to light candles every night. That from the way to the Beis Medrash, people used to stop learning Torah at the end of the day. They couldn't afford candles; very expensive. So he lit up all the passages around the Beis Medrash that the people, and in there he lit candles, that people should come, know how to come to the Beis Medrash without stumbling and learn Torah. And because that, Shaul merited to be king. So we see there also the connection. Yes.
Is Mashiach the light,
a
candle?
No, he's called a candle. Okay, he's called a candle. Okay. So because then that the special power of the Malchus is going to be a light to everybody and a light to the nations. So what does it mean that he's going to bring the light to the nations? There's one light in the entire world that there is. Torah, Zohorah, period. The Torah is light. And the fact that Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, what does it mean he's going to bring that light? Now, you know, if you go into a dark, dark room and there's one little candle at the end, our eyes immediately get pulled to there. It means when Bnei Yisrael keep the Torah down to the T, every single thing, that's when we're a light to the nation. When a Kurd person keeps Shabbos, we're a light to the nation. When a person keeps Shemitah, we're a light to the nation. The future, the biggest light in the world is going to be when Mashiach is going to come, and then everybody's going to recognize that Am Yisrael, which is 613 mitzvahs, has 613 connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that is only when we're going to be keeping the 613 mitzvahs. So that's the concept of bringing the light, bringing like the Torah into our home. But it's often compared, the Geula, the redemption, and light. Now we're always talking about the physical lighting the candles, and the physicality causes what we're feeling inside, what our kavana should be. Let's go down to source 11. Shehatarah kula lo nitna ela la'asot shalom ba'olam. The whole Torah is not given just for one reason, to do peace in this world, because it's written, Drachea Darkei Noam, the way we behave is in a nice, peaceful way. The chol netivotei shalom, all its roads, all its wherever. If you walk according to the path of the Torah, what is the end destination? It's always going to bring peace. So we have to know the responsibility of peace in the world is on us. In many ways, like if there's an earthquake somewhere, it's like, yeah, we have to wake up and think how we can correct that. But that's the Torah and the peace are connected. Okay. Now we said that when the Kohen was lighting the candles, it's written Beha'alotcha. Beha'alotcha comes from word to go up, la'alot, to elevate. A whole house could be elevated when a woman's lighting candles. One of the greatest jobs or parts of the Kohen Gadol was that he was lighting the candles. Now, where does the candles lead to? There are different opinions. But the Rambam says that the candles lit towards Kodesh HaKodeshim. The flames. The flames face the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Rambam brings down. Yeah, he says that El Panea, and that's the art towards the Kodesh Kodeshim, right. The essence of Klal Yisrael was in, or the heart of Klal Yisrael was in the Kodesh Kodeshim, in the Aron, right? We had two Kruvim, two Malachim facing each other. You say, where does Hashem live together with Bnei Yisrael? What would be the answer? In the box. Yeah. And the candles lit towards the box, if you can say it like that. Because the candles were supposed to light something which was supposed to show the light of Torah. And it's supposed to show that the connection between Klal Yisrael and Hashem is always, always, always going to be the Torah. When the Torah, if we have like Hashem, the Torah, and Bnei Yisrael, when the Torah is kept, the Kruvim were towards each other. When the Torah was not kept, then what happened?
They turned away
from each other. That was all together. That was the concept that the menorah was supposed to light up. Now, the Dvorah HaNeviah, Dvorah, the prophetess, she is born actually as the greatest example of being the best wife, woman, if you want to, whatever you want to fit in the whole entire world. Best mom also. She's called MB Israel. Why?
She made the wicks.
Again, she made the wicks and what did she do with her? But what did she do with the wicks?
She gave them to her husband put in the mishkan. Right.
So Dvorah married, I don't know, I'm saying the words of the Torah, the Chazal is Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz is a layman. I don't know, he didn't, maybe it was the Am Haaretz compared to, I don't know, but that's what, now she wanted to make him into a Talmud Chacham. She wanted to make him to learn Torah. She wanted to make him to want to be a great person. So she didn't nag him to get him every morning to Daf Yomi. She didn't do that. She didn't nag him to get up to davening. She didn't nag him to go and learn. What did she do? She said, my darling, you know what? In my spare time, I've made these wicks for the
Mishkan.
For the menorah and the Mishkan. But you know, I have children at home. I have kids. I can't go back and forth. She lived like next to Yericho. To go back and forth to Shiloh, I can't do it. Would you mind, please, every month, taking these wicks and bringing them to the Beis HaMikdash, and then it's a tremendous chus, because we'll get to that in a minute, but it's written that if you light Shabbos candles with oil and the highest level, one zaycha to santo or talmidei chachamim. But this is what she told him to do. Now, I want to tell you something. He had to go to the Mishkan once a month. I just made it up once a month, by the way. I don't know if it was every second week or whatever it was. But the aspect of the Mishkan where there were great people there learning Torah. where did people learn Torah? In the Mishkan when they went three times a year, and the Beis HaMikdash when they went three times a year. That's why the connection between Bnei Yisrael going up was so important. They didn't have the Sfarim where they went to learn Torah. They came on Dich Chazara and Chazara again and again till next Yantav, and there they learned more Torah. So the place to grow in Torah was one, wasn't the Mishkan. So she sent them to the Mishkan. Now, don't you think she could have had other ways of sending the Mishkan? She was a very rich lady, by the way. Very, very, very. She could have given him a korban to send, like, I promised a korban, would you mind bringing it? Let's bring a korban, let's daven for it. Whatever she could have done. But without that, she chose the wicks to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Because lighting candles has something special when the woman gives her mesiras nefesh to do it. She's bringing goodness, peace, and light into the home. She's actually bringing the Torah into her home. And he grew up, he grew to be a tremendous person. It said an unbelievable thing. If his name was Barak, his name was Michael, he grew way above anybody could imagine. Why? So here we have the tremendous chachmah of the woman, how she did it. But this was done because she sent him to prepare to give the wicks that she had prepared at home. That's the whole story. And that's why, just like the menorah shines the essence of Klal Yisrael, the Shabbos candle at home are supposed to shine and light up the essence of a woman's mission and of a person's mission in the home. When a woman lights candles, there are also other things that happen, and that we also learn from the words of the Torah about Aaron. If we go down to source 14, it's written Vayaaroch. Laaroch is to set up or to organize the candles. Both means would be okay. Means part of the mitzvah wasn't only him to light up, was to set it up. So the mitzvah doesn't only start from before, from tying candles. The mitzvah actually starts from before, from setting them up and preparing the candles. Sorry, Cheryl was, she was very polite and she picked up her hand.
In some houses, the man is the one who
Right, I'm going to get that in a second. Yes, okay. Yes, okay. Thank you. Yes, yes, we can ask the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to source 15, and we're going to answer it. It's written, Kol hasharui belo isha belo tova. Any man who is there without a woman is without goodness in life. Maybe they think they know what's good, but the goodness can only pour into a man through a woman.
That's right.
Have to write. We for sure agree with that. We just Hatorai Tov. Torah is called Tov. A Torah Tov. The Torah is good. K'mo she'nemar ki lekach tov natati lachem. That is goodness. V'isha ishto hi bidmuta. The Torah, a woman, since she's also called matzah isha matzatov, is also called tov. The woman is the one that brings the Torah, the tov, out of the man. In simple words, a man cannot complete the Torah. A man cannot keep the Torah completely unless he has a woman in his life. Unless he's married, I should say. Okay, now a woman doesn't have that. Besides Shalom bringing the good in the world, and let's say a woman, women are given amazing gifts. They're giving the gift of speech. You know, you ask a man, how was your day? He says, fine. You ask a woman, how was your day? Tell him. Now, speaking is communication. But really, when we're talking about Tov and Torah and the man, a woman could bring out, the Tov is the communication, is the woman bringing out what the man has inside, out to like, to actualize, it actualizes his potential. Sometimes testing his patience also. How patient are you, dear? You know, but it's really that's what it is between them. When we say hatavat hanerot, like goodness, improving the candles, it's improving, a woman is there, to, if you want to say, to improve the man. And you so often think, see that men cannot talk, but when they're married, that's when they learn to talk. But that's when they can really actualize the self much more, and I'm talking in the learning of Torah. It's true also in success in the world, but they can actually actualize their potential much more than they can express themselves. Even if they have a Dvar Torah and the woman is encouraged for them to say it, they're bringing it out, and when you're saying something, it's much more, it influences you much more. Now, that's where we're coming to dealing with the candles together. So I saw a quite interesting thing with regards to that, and I just, oh, here. It's written, you would aim the husband and the wife, who prepares it. So the Gemara in Shabbos brings down as following. Haragil baner, a person that is used to lighting the candles. Hevinu banim tamidei chachamim, and of course they daven for them. The time to daven, they will have banim that are talmidei chachamim. Okay, so Rav Huna, that he was, he went past the house and he saw that there were that the husband and wife were dealing together with lighting the candles, like preparing the wicks together, and there are two great talmidei chachamim coming out there from them. And then he says there's a story in the Gemara later, they went past Petach Aviv Shrav Shizbi, whatever, he was this one person, and he dealt with it. The father was dealing with it, not the wife. He said he had one Talmid Chacham come from it. So the minhag that the husband comes and the husbands take care of it is the woman lights the candle. So she's dealing with lighting the candle. But the husband that also should deal with preparing the candles, that should be two of them together, that the mission is from two of them, that's where it comes out that husbands prepare the candles. But it's if one does it, that's also fine. that's it. Okay. So we have a few more minutes. A neshama of a person, we start at the beginning, is compared to
A candle.
Why is it, sorry?
A flame.
No, but it's a ner. Okay. Oh, okay, good. It was a good question. Nice. Ner is, in Hebrew, nerot Shabbat would be not the candle, would be the vessel that the flame burns from. Okay? So we have the flame, and I don't want to say candle because you could light from oil. So you have like the vessel and you have the flame. You have the two of them together. That's what a person is. That's what a neshama of a person is. It's a connection between something earthly to something more spiritual. The pasuk in Mishlei brings down, I didn't write that down. It's written, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. A candle is like an neshama of a person. It's not written that an neshama of a person is like a candle. A candle has the concept of an neshama, not the opposite. Chofes Kol Chadrei Baten. Beten is a person's most inner place, is in the stomach. Chofes, really, it lights up all the insides of a person. Okay, that's the pasuk in Mishnah. What does it mean? The neshama is something from above. But the neshama connects to most physical thing, the body. Now, you know, if Hashem didn't do it, it would be important, it would be impossible to do. In the world, I think the Jewish nation is the only one that celebrates everything spiritual with physicality. Am I right? Spiritual in the rest of the world, I think all through the generation, was at most preventing ourselves from any physical enjoyment and concentrating on the spirituality. And some of you have two together was either or. So Hashem takes this beautiful neshama, which is pure and clean and beautiful, and sticks it into this human being that wants to do everything physical besides tie themselves down to what's wrong and right. And Hashem makes a shidduch between the two of them, and not always the neshama wants to go down, but Hashem has ways to persuade it to go down, like, you'll only come back to me if you go down. And he puts the two of them together. And that's what a candle is. A candle is the vessel that we have to light the flame. It could be a candle. It could be oil. It could be whatever it is. But that's the physical part of it. And then we put onto it a flame. A flame, a fire, is something 100% spiritual. It's like you can't, even if you touch it, you can't touch it. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about being burned. It's nothing. It's such an interesting thing. If anybody ever tried to paint a flame, it's such a difficult thing to do because it's not a reality. It's something above it. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, and it's not, you put it right. Yeah, it's air, but it's not air because it's there.
Yeah.
So what is it? And that's why it's something so spiritual. So Hashem is saying that if you look at the candle is the symbol of putting the ruchnias, the spirituality and physicality together. And guess what? It goes. But it goes only in one condition. When it's going up. when our desire is to go up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when a woman is lighting the candle, what she's doing in the home, is she doing, again, in a certain way, the creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of a person. She's enabling the spirituality and the physicality in her home to connect together to something higher, to something that's not, to something to look up. And when is she doing that? She's doing it before Shabbos is in the way that which is the most spiritual day of the week. And she's saying, dear people at home, look at this opportunity that we have. Hashem has given us the most spiritual day of the week, and he's not asking us to fast. He's asking us to physically enjoy the Shabbos. And really, la'alacha, the more you put into Shabbos, the more you enjoy Shabbos, the higher in a spiritual way you can get. And that's the message to every person that's lighting a candle in the middle, in the beginning of Shabbos. Take this opportunity of Shabbos that we have to two together, because what we put in for those few minutes and hadlakas neros will actually spill out our whole week, spiritually and physically, will look like our lighting the candles. Have a good Shabbos.